Today, APRA goes back to the future on Bank Capital. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. During this week, APRA released a further set of papers relating to their plans for bank capital ahead. Now, of course, the idea is that banks should hold sufficient capital such that in a crisis, they're still able to manage their business. And around the world over the last few years, especially since the global financial crisis, the amount of capital that banks are required to hold has risen significantly. An example would be in New Zealand, where Adrian Orr there, the governor in New Zealand, is essentially pushing the banks to hold yet more capital. And he argues this is because this is a way of mitigating risks and ensuring that if banks get into difficulty, neither the government needs to bail them out, nor indeed do deposits need to be grabbed to bail out a bank. Now, in Australia, the capital ratios are reported on a different basis, thanks to the way that APRA, the regulator, thinks about them. And if you actually try and make direct comparisons between the rate of capital held here and overseas, generally, our banks are below those on an international basis who are continuing to take capital even higher. And a few months ago, APRA said that they were going to review the capital holdings in Australia. So APRA released a response to the submission papers on proposed changes to its capital adequacy requirements. They say refining the proposals that were put forward in February 2018. Although APRA did say that further changes were likely down the track. And this will push housing risk weights for the major banks towards the midpoint to high end of the 25 to 30% FSI range. But that is still lower, much lower, than in many other countries. APRA reconfirmed that the banks who have already met the so-called unquestionably strong requirement are unlikely to have to raise additional capital, albeit the 10.5% unquestionably strong CET1 ratio for the majors is, quote, an average targeted outcome, with individual outcomes to vary by banks. APRA has proposed a smaller difference in risk weights between low-risk and high-risk mortgage exposures, which it may at face value favour Westpac, whose book is more heavily tilted in this direction. I think this is a disappointment because they should be seeking to de-risk the portfolio, not encourage more sporty lending. Contradicting claims from the regional banks, APRA has forcibly pushed back on the concept that the regional banks hold materially more capital in their mortgage books compared with the major banks on a like-for-like basis. Now, this is going to be a negative for banks like Bendigo and Adelaide Bank and the Bank of Queensland. APRA says that the overall difference in capital requirements on mortgage pricing is only in the order of 5 basis points. And APRA's proposed changes are unlikely to alter this conclusion materially. They also propose lower risk weights for credit cards and personal loans secured by vehicles. And APRA said that these changes did not take account of the higher capital requirements proposed by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, and that the APRA changes would take effect from the 1st of January 2022, except a change to the standardised operational risk framework, which is planned for a year earlier. Now, it's true to say that the proposed changes do not appear to be set in stone, with APRA suggesting further changes were likely, and that another quantitative impact study, or QIS, will be run. And in their release, they said the proposed risk weights should not be viewed as definitive, rather they are intended to be indicative of the quantum of changes in particular asset classes. Importantly for the major banks, though, APRIS reconfirmed that banks that have already met this unquestionably strong requirement are unlikely to have to raise any additional capital to meet future changes. Now, of course, some banks may be impacted relatively more than others, with APRA qualifying that the 10.5% unquestionably strong benchmark is an average metric at an industry level, and APRA has proposed making some changes for the IRB banks. They're the banks who run internal models. For example, the capital requirements for residential lending has changed. This includes a narrower definition of non-standard mortgages. That's a relatively small proportion of mortgage loans now expected to be captured by this definition, and a simplification of mortgage classifications. In the BAL structures overseas, different types of mortgages have been put into smaller and smaller different categories with quite different risk weights. But no, APRA is not going down that way. Under these changes now, mortgages will either be classified as low or high risk. Low risk will comprise owner-occupied, principal and interest loans, while the high risk bucket will include other types of mortgages. And they said that risk weights will be graduated within each bucket depending on the loan-to-value ratio and whether the mortgage has lender's mortgage insurance cover or not. And this will push housing risk weights for the major banks towards the midpoint to high end of the Financial System Inquiry's 20 to 30% suggested range. That was the inquiry that David Murray ran 5 years ago. As a result of that, we expect to see NAB and Westpac's mortgage risk weights will increase slightly more than ANZ or CBA's, given the structure of the various books. But the point I want to leave you with is that what APRA has done is said, one, there's no fundamental increase in the total risk weight required to be held by the banks in Australia. That's very different from what's happened in New Zealand and other countries around the world. Secondly, APRA has essentially allowed the major banks to continue to use their IRB models for capital creation and monitoring, and they will have a very significant competitive advantage compared to the regionals. Regionals were hoping that APRA would level the playing field more, but no, they haven't done that. They have, of course, also simplified the calculations of risk weights. And finally, they have reduced the amount of capital required to hold against credit cards and other types of loans. So I think you have to see this as APRA very much responding to and being on the side of the major banks. And frankly, I find this pretty disgusting, given what happened through the Royal Commission, given the fact that the risk weights in Australia are significantly lower than in a number of other countries, and because of the fact that in Australia, banks have a greater proportion of their business in mortgage lending compared with almost any other banks around the world. So the bottom line is that APRA has essentially decided to protect the big four, and that is at the expense of greater competition in the marketplace. And by the way, it also means that there will be no relative advantage to banks lending for constructive business purposes to the SME sector, for example, compared with mortgages. Mortgages still hold a very low set of risk weights. So this seems to have been set up specifically to encourage banks to lend more, and there is an implicit assurance that most banks have already done the heavy lifting on capital. I wonder what the Reserve Bank of New Zealand would say about that. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.